Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and here's a thought that many people find uncomfortable. I think it is possible to have a full and fruitful faith life and still face mental health challenges, from relationship problems to anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, you name it. Good and even holy people confront all kinds of challenges, and faith can help, prayer can help, the sacraments can certainly help. But when is other help needed, and how does one find that help? Faith and mental health is our topic this hour, and if you have mental health questions for which you would like fully Catholic answers, please give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Joe Sikora, host of, amazingly, the Joe Sikora Show over there on Immaculate Heart Radio. But that's not his only work. Joe's also a licensed marriage and family therapist working at Still Point Family Resources here in Southern California. And I might add this, Joe is someone I have come to admire and like a great deal. So thanks for being with us, Joe Sikora.
Absolutely. My pleasure. It's a great risk that you're taking, having me on your show.
I realize that. I probably my employment is probably at risk having you on the
show.
Could
be like an hour left.
Yeah. So you take calls all the time from all kinds of different angles. But your experience as a marriage and family therapist informs a great deal of the content of your show.
Right.
And people seem to respond to – well, I was just seeing before the show one of our good friends here letting you know how important your show is to her. And I think to a lot of people, this is a very – I don't know if it's the society we live in or if it's always been this way, but there's a lot of depression, anxiety, upset, marital problems, all those things.
Yeah. It's not getting a whole lot better either. You know, we see anxiety going up, especially among young people, teenagers, 20s. You know, when you and I were growing up, we might have been worried about, like, do I look cool? Am I wearing the right thing to go out on a date? But kids these days are really stressed out. So it's really problematic. And I think, look, I don't know that it's so new. We've been dealing with depression and anxiety, I think, since we stepped out of the Garden of Eden. But I think we've got great tools now, especially our faith. And I focus on the integration of our faith and science, quite honestly. There's no, you know, reason to run from what science offers. And there's a lot of great research out there and everything else to get help.
888-318-7884, the number 888-31-TRUTH. I should probably mention at some point that part of the reason you're here in San Diego is everybody from Immaculate Heart Radio is here in San Diego this weekend for the Elevate Conference. And so I tried to get Father Matthew Spencer to come over, and he couldn't. So that's why you're here, Joe.
I was the last one you asked. I was the only one who said yes.
Everyone else said no. That's not really true. Joe Sikora, 888-318-7884, the number. Mental health, faith and mental health, our topic this hour. And Joe, what about devices? I mean, I don't know how much research there is on that. You said, you know, you integrate faith and science, and they shouldn't be afraid of one another, faith and science. But when I talk about devices, I mean the phones, the tablets, the television that talks to you while you're pumping your gas. Have you? Do they have that in your neighborhood?
No.
I've never heard of it. Really?
No, actually, I have seen that. Yeah.
Oh, it's your wife that does all the gas pumping.
Well,
huh?
There is. And I do think that there is a correlation between the excessive use of iPhones and Facebook. And I mean, again, I'm not against technology. You can't, really. But I do think that there is a correlation between people becoming so dependent on their devices, even to communicate. I find it fascinating. And I go into a room of young people, you know, in their teens or something like that, and they're sitting around in a circle, and they're all on their device. And I ask them, who are you talking to? It's like, oh, you know, it's like, what about looking at this person and asking them a question and whatnot? Yeah. And so I think, again, you know, it is becoming increasingly a challenge for us to enter into a life and just look at each other and think, and sometimes even enter into the silence. Just being with somebody and being quiet, I think, is a skill that's being lost. Because of anxiety.
Yeah, don't do that this hour. But it's, you know, it's fascinating. I'm just looking on some of the comments as we're starting the show. And on Facebook, Melissa says, I have huge anxiety. So what do you say to someone who says that to you?
First of all, you're not alone, Melissa. You know, it's important because a lot of people think is this just me? Am I the only one suffering? Am I the only one worrying right now? And because we've been taught to put on the happy face, we've been taught to mask our emotions and our feelings. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes things like anxiety, and anxiety is very, very debilitating. You know, if I work with people with depression and anxiety, and my experience says people with anxiety actually suffer more. You know, it's really hard when you just don't feel comfortable in your own skin. But again, our faith is a great place, you know, just getting away into the quiet with the Lord and praying, you know, really embracing that whole idea that there is somebody who cares for you, who loves you, who's going to walk with you, you know, take care of you. And that's Christ, of course. But it doesn't have to end there. You know, it doesn't have to end there, but that's a great place. It's always been there. And Jesus, of course, knows. You know the scriptures well. You know, it's like, what are you worried about? You know, you're worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't exist. You're worried about what already happened. Well, what are you going to do about that? You know, being right. Present. So.
Right, right. And he that one of the most beautiful things, and I think also very, very hard to live that from Christ is his statement about, you know, God takes care of the birds of the air. Look how he right. dresses them, the flowers of the field. Why do you think he's not going to take care of you? And yet we don't, or we spend a lot of our lives worried because we think he won't take care of us.
Well, and of course, look, it's I think it's reasonable to have these kind of worries and concerns. The apostles did. You know, I mean, think about this. Peter himself, walking with the Lord for years, whenever, you know, and he's on the Sea of Galilee. They're in a storm. They're freaked out. I love telling this story, right?
Yeah.
Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come walk to you. Okay, Peter, come on. Get out of the boat. He does it. Amazing. But what's the first thing that he does? He looks down at the water. He looks down at the sea and he goes, oh, I can't walk on the water.
Right.
Blub, blub, blub. Down he goes.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, look, if Peter did that, the first pope, I think we too have this propensity or inclination to look down at the water, to look at the problems. And God says, look at me.
Well, let me just add this for you, Joe, and see what you think. A thing that I really like about that story is that Peter ends up blowing it. He just blows it. And not a word from Jesus except, you know, oh, ye little faith, because he's teaching him. But he
right.
takes him by the hand and pulls him back up. So there's no – I think sometimes we feel – maybe it's – you know, you hear about Catholic guilt and all that. I don't know if that's a real thing, Catholic guilt or not. But the sense of, oh, but the Lord did help me and I messed up. And now I'll just sink, I guess, instead of ask for help.
That is such a great point, Si, is that the first thing – that God does is he reaches down, extends his hand, and pulls us up out of the water. Absolutely. And it's funny, the whole idea of Catholic guilt. You know, you and I have both heard this term. I don't think there's anything about being Catholic that is about being guilty. I think it very much sets us free, our faith. I think we feel more guilt because we condemn ourselves, or we grow up in a home where we're always punished, or it's not okay to have feelings, or it's not okay to have doubts. And I think our God is so much more loving and accepting of us than we actually are of ourselves. And it's a learned behavior.
Now, tell me what that means, a learned behavior. We learn to treat God as a maybe an angry parent if we have an angry parent?
Or, yes.
I see.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. You know, I mean, we from literally when we pop out of the womb, you know, we start taking in information. When I cry, is mommy going to pick me up? When I cry, am I going to get fed? And so when we actually have that experience of being taken care of as children, we're more likely to accept the idea of a God who takes care of us. So it's really not a problem with God or faith. It's a problem sometimes with our history,
yeah.
you know, growing up. But again, anything learned can be unlearned. We can learn something new. And I think, again, our faith is a beautiful place to learn a new message that, you know what, trust, believe.
Yeah, the trust makes a huge difference. It's really hard to trust God.
It's hard to trust God if your experience has been to not be able to trust people. I think people who have been able to trust other people have an easier time accepting that kind of unconditional love, which, of course, he offers. It's huge, but, you know, that's what God offers.
Licensed marriage and family therapist and radio host extraordinaire Joe Sikora is here with us this hour. I would tell you to call, but all the lines just completely filled up. So we've got a lot of calls to get to. But if you want to get on the line, though, do call. We'll try to get to every call before the top of the hour. 888-318-7884. That number. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live with Joe Sikora right after this.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines by apologist and speaker Tim Staples is an apologetics tour de force, which delves deeper than ever before into the Catholic Church's teaching on our Blessed Mother, from her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her Assumption into Heaven to her role as co-redemptrix. Tim gives you the facts and backs them up with solid biblical evidence in the way only Tim Staples can do. Call 1-888-291-8000, log on to Catholic.com, or visit a good Catholic bookstore in your area and get your copy of Behold Your Mother today. Now available in paperback and as an ebook. Get your copy today.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are talking faith and mental health this hour, 888-318-7884. The number, Joe Sikora, our guest, licensed marriage and family therapist, which I'm going to say a whole bunch of times, and radio host, and a man who says he trusts both in his faith and in science.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sure.
You feel comfortable with that?
Yeah. I mean, science is always evolving and changing and challenging, but I think
probably your faith life is too.
Yes, it is.
I mean, God's not, but your faith life probably is. Okay. Let's go to Joanne in San Francisco, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Joanne, your question for Joe Sikora.
Yes. I have a sister who we suspect has a mental health issue, and we think she's bipolar. She's not able to hold a job. You know, she lost her job many, many years ago, and I've helped her family. She and her husband actually both have probably suffered from depression from losing their home and all that. So I've supported them and paid their rent basically for almost 10 years. And, you know, I just sold the home that I, you know, bought for them like March, thinking that they might do things on their own and become more responsible. But I think I've just enabled them by doing that.
And when you say them, so you're talking about your sister's children?
No, my sister.
Oh, your sister.
And her husband.
I got it.
Children are wonderful. They're responsible. They did graduate.
Okay.
You know, one's a nurse now on her own, and one is going through college right now. And they both work very hard and go to school. Really good, awesome kids.
So you would like some help from Joe on how to address your sister who you suspect of being bipolar. Is that right?
Right. And we can't get her to a doctor. She doesn't have health insurance. We don't know how to convince her anymore to get checked and get some medication maybe to help her out.
All right. Hang on. Let's go to Joe. Joe?
Boy, Joanne, first of all, I want to call you a saint. God bless you for reaching out and doing so much for your family. You're really living out your faith by doing that. And this is a really challenging question, because even with people, whether it's bipolar or schizophrenia, the big problem, the big struggle is they start feeling better. They're on their meds. They're doing therapy. They're doing what they should be doing. And then they go, oh, I don't need these medications anymore, and they go off. So it's very, very challenging. You know, there's no easy answer that I can give you. I would say, you know, you use the word enabling. you know, usually we use that in conjunction with somebody who's an alcoholic, where they're just not making any choice to take steps to take care of themselves. And that could be the case with your sister. Again, it's different. It's not an addiction we're talking about. It's a real mental disorder. So at what point do you say, I can't do this anymore? Personally, again, there's no easy answer, Joanne, but I would say I would rather get up to the pearly gates and God hear the words from the Lord saying, hey, good job. You took care of your family, because that's really where faith begins, than saying, well, Lord, I didn't want to enable my sister, so I cut her off. I would kind of err on that side. But again, as long as it's not draining you financially, I do think you have a moral obligation to take care of yourself, your own family, and if that includes, you know, them not getting everything they want, like a free house and stuff like that, well, I think she should cooperate with that. I think it's good and healthy for you to have healthy boundaries and say, look, I want to help you, but I'm not going to take over and live your life for you. She's got to have buy-in. So I don't know if that's really helpful, because it's not a great, great answer, but you're in a really difficult situation.
Anonymous, how does that strike you?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry. Joanne, I called you anonymous. I beg your pardon. You were not anonymous. You said Joanne. I think I just figured everyone's going to be anonymous today. Sorry. Sorry, Joanne.
No, that's me.
How does Joe's your response to Joe's answer?
It's helpful, and I think to kind of know that, you know, it's okay to help someone in your family without feeling like you're living their lives for them, and someone in that capacity, you know, makes me feel good. But
I would, would
know,
she
it's
be
not draining me financially, but it's still, you know, a hit, you know?
Right. Joanne, would she be willing to go see a doctor with you? I mean, what would she say to you if you put some conditions? Like if you said, look, I want to support you, and because of love, I think you need more help than I can provide. That's legitimate. And if you do this, I will continue to support you.
I can try that approach. And, you know, without health insurance, you know, I would have to try to allocate some funds for that.
Well, there's probably free clinics as well. You know, we're pretty good about that in the United States. I mean, there's a lot of really great people who are out there willing to help and diagnose. So I would look into that. Obviously, you don't have to foot the bill for everything. You know, so finding a free clinic, I bet there are places where, you know, she could get diagnosed and get medications and whatnot.
Joanne, God bless you in the heavy burden that you carry, and thank you very, very much for that call. 888-318-7884, the number. And now we do go to someone who says anonymous, Joe. I didn't mean to make people who had already shared their name into anonymous people.
You're already struggling with life, and then you take away their name.
I know. Really. You give me a perfectly good name. Anonymous, well, we have several anonymouses on. So anonymous in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. You are on with Joe Sikora. Your question, please.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. And thank you for the call. What's your question for Joe?
Yeah, okay. I may have several questions, but I try to narrow down to one. So I'm a father of two children. Both are twins, and one is 3 years old. And we suspect he might have autism. And we want to know if there are, Catholic Approach resources for, diagnostics with doctors that may have
Anonymous, how old is the son, the child, I think you said son, who you think has autism? Three. Okay. So, Joe?
Look, I don't know that you have to go to a Catholic doctor to get a good diagnosis. You know, when you're looking at something like autism or a learning disability, there's a lot of great people out there, and there's a lot of great resources as well. So I would just begin with your pediatrician at 3 years old and follow his lead. He would probably be the best one to say, hey, go visit this professional or that professional. I really couldn't guide you from here, but that's what I would do, is just go to that person right there who knows your child.
Does that work for you, Anonymous?
Yeah, we did already a pediatrician, and they refer us to a public program, but they never mentioned autism, so we were trying to
I see. You would like to get a clear diagnosis about whether your child is autistic or not.
Yeah. And there's too much information out there to really narrow down to, you know, for example, the doctor's specialty. Who are the best
doctors? Okay, so that's a great question, Joe. Who is the specialist you go to if you want to have a diagnosis of a child?
You know, you're actually kind of stepping out of my field a little bit there because I don't deal with that kind of diagnosis. I don't work with children. I don't work with, you know, diagnosing autism or whatnot.
Uh-huh.
So I would really, again, refer. I would refer back to your pediatrician and say, who do you think I should go to? I think that's where I'd begin.
Thank you very much for that call, Anonymous. Do hope that was helpful. Mike in San Diego, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on with Joe Sikora. Mike, what's your question?
Hey, guys. I was going to ask you this tomorrow because we're here for the Elevate, but...
At the conference, Mike. Okay, good.
Yeah, I don't know how busy you guys are going to be and how swamped you're going to be with people, so I thought I'd ask you over the phone.
Well, Joe will be swamped with people. You could talk with me all day, but Joe will be swamped with people, but I can't really help you. So what's the question for Joe?
Hey, I heard from some people that I want to buy this map. Sorry about that. I heard from people that there are certain kinds of psych meds that can actually prevent you from receiving the full graces of God, or hypothetically, let's just say you have an evil spirit attached to you that in order to receive prayers in order to beat the evil out of you, I guess, that there are some psych meds that can prevent prayer from getting through. Is that true?
I have never heard of such a thing. I think... The challenge with any kind of medication is it's going to alter your brain somewhat, hopefully for the better, so that you can get clarity. Even people who are depressed and who go on psych meds for depression or whatnot will say, gosh, I don't quite feel my same. My view is this with psych meds, and again, I would refer to your psychiatrist or the physician who is actually prescribing the medication, but ask what are the side effects, because sometimes you can just say, I don't feel like myself, but I don't think that's going to prevent you from receiving God's graces. I think God's graces, he's given us wise men and women who have, created these drugs. They're not all great, but they're all pretty good. We're living a pretty good lifestyle now because in part medication and good therapy and everything else. I don't think anything can get in the way of God's grace. Open your heart, open your mind to God's grace. What can stop the love of God? So that's my thought. I wouldn't be afraid of any kind of medication because it's going to interfere with God's grace.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike. See you tomorrow. You won't see Joe because there'll be thousands of people around him, but you can see me tomorrow. 888-318-7884, the number. We are talking faith and mental health today and very appreciative of the calls. Lines, again, are full. Well, no, I see one line open. So if you have a question about faith or mental health and you would like to ask licensed marriage and family therapist and radio talk show host Joe Sikora and get some, I think, good solid certainly good, solid therapy answer, but you, I think you're a solid Catholic, Joe. Would you say that?
What do you think?
Well, that was like a therapist answer.
How do you feel about that?
You guys get paid so much money to say, well, how do you feel?
Yeah, how do you feel about me being on your show?
Not that great right now. At the moment. Well, all right, well, let's go to Rob in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, where we have lots of good friends. And Rob, we may have to hold the answer over to after the break. I'm not sure. Go ahead and give us your question, and we'll do the best to get it in before the break. And if not, hang on. And we'll get to it after. Rob, your question for Joe Sikora.
Yes, I have a 24-year-old son who has decided that he is transgender. How, as the leader of my family, how do I guide us with for our mental health through this situation?
Well, is he still living under your roof?
No.
And I look.
No, and. And he wants not, he doesn't come around. He doesn't call us. He avoids our phone calls. The whole thing.
I think. Look, as Catholics, as Christians, we never close our hearts to our family. Does that mean that we don't have healthy boundaries? We don't let people abuse us and whatnot. I would just say Jesus, gave great examples of self-care. He'd go off and hey, I'm going to go off and pray. I'm going to spend some time. I'm going to walk across the lake. So just make sure that you're taking care of yourself. Whatever you've done over the past, 40, 50 years of your life, however old you are, just continue to do those. Go to Mass, pray, breathe, enjoy life.
Rob, how does that
start? How do I guide my wife through this? The issue with this is that we have actually lost a son. At least it feels that way. And the problem is, it's not like a death in the family because you can't mourn that. And I think that's the issue, is the family unit itself, we're having a hard time, I think, mourning because, you know, obviously he didn't die, but it is as if we've lost the son.
I would say this. Yeah. Are you familiar with the story of the prodigal son?
Oh, you bet.
Well, Joe's going to dig into that a little bit when we come back, because we do have to take a break. Rob, can you hang on through the break?
You bet. Thank you.
All right, brother. God bless you. And we'll just put you on hold till after the break. We'll take a quick break now, and we'll be back with more. Lots of calls today. We're talking faith and mental health with a man who is an expert in both areas, Joe Sikora, radio host and family therapist. 888-318-7884, our number. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Christian men, beware. With the idols of materialism, entertainment, and the flesh, it's plain to see that the world wants you for its own. Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Lessons to Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, Father Ehrman draws on his experiences counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique format, he offers a plan for ongoing conversion, holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy you're here with us for a Friday afternoon. So happy to welcome Joe Sikora for the first time in the Catholic Answers studios, because Joe's a happy guy and a good guy and can help with lots of different mental health and family issues, because he's a licensed marriage and family therapist and also a radio host. And when we went to the break, Joe, you were starting to talk about the prodigal son. We were talking with Rob, who says he feels he's mourning the loss of his son, because his son now says that he's not a man, that he's a woman. And Rob's in Omaha, Nebraska. You were giving us some...
Look, first, I get it. It makes a lot of sense, because and Rob was saying we can't – it's not like losing – like to death or something like that. He's still there. She's still there. So how do you deal with that? It's a real problem. But again, I would go back to the prodigal son, because there's such great hope. And the witness that we have is the father goes up. I mean, the prodigal son goes off and does some awful, awful things. I mean, you know, it doesn't get much worse. And yet the father never lost hope. He remained. He went up onto the roof. He was always looking, but he always trusted. He just, you know, he knew he didn't have the answers. He didn't go running after the son. He didn't condemn the son. He came back when the son came back, and he was never beyond God's grace. And the father threw a party. We don't know what's going to happen with your son. You know, God calls us to live in freedom, and we make some really bad choices at times. You know, I've made bad choices. You make twice as many bad choices, Si, as I do.
I made one today. Yeah,
we've having me on the show.
Yes. But we never lose hope. You know, we sometimes get frustrated because we think, gosh, this should be in my control. But I just say, being Catholic, being Christian is about never losing hope, trusting that God can do what God can do.
Rob, how does that strike you?
Well, that's what we're doing. So it sounds like we're on the right track. It is a tough situation, but we will continue and we'll focus more, I think, on the let him go, don't condemn, keep looking for him to come back.
Amen.
And keep praying for him to come back.
Amen, brother. Amen. As hard as it is, and so many parents today, I think, share a kind of grief over their children, the kind of grief that Rob is expressing, because the world is offering all kinds of answers that really are not rooted in reality.
They're not
at
Catholic
all.
Answers.
They're not. Thank you for that little ad. All right, Joe.
I'm a big fan of Catholic answers, by the way, and a big fan of Si Kellett. So I appreciate being on here. It's a real honor.
Wow. Let's just talk about this. We got a half hour. Another anonymous in Texas listening on Guadalupe Radio. Anonymous, your question for Joe Sikora.
Hey, hello, Joe. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to say that I'm a parent of nine children, and the question I have is this. I've got a condition called, it's an autoimmune condition, and it affects me in many aspects of my life. I get depression, anxiety, and so forth. Anxiety is pretty much gone, but the depression sets in every now and then. Of course, I get physical conditions as well. And I think what made it worse, I don't know if this is a cause of that, but I know that we were having issues with my wife as far as our marriage life. And 3 years ago, I found that she was talking to an old boyfriend, her first boyfriend, in a different state, and actually where her grandparents live. And, you know, she'd go visit her grandparents. Grandparents are very, very strict and good Catholics, and so then, like I said, I found out that she was talking to this old boyfriend, and it made me extremely upset. First time I found out, she admitted it. She said she wouldn't do it again. She apologized. Second time, she did it again, apologized. Third time, I found out, and she apologized, and since then, she's, you know, I hope she hasn't been talking to this person, but it's very difficult for me to. I have forgiven her, and she has asked for forgiveness, and it's very difficult because I think, I don't know if it's because of my autoimmune condition, but I have a difficulty in trusting in her word and trusting in God, I suppose. And
Anonymous, I'm going to let Joe address that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Let me a couple of ideas. First of all, God bless you, all those children. Even if you don't have a disease, even if you're not dealing with anything debilitating, marriage is tough. And this includes Catholics and other Christians. The divorce rate's about 50%. It's something that we struggle with long term. And I think the best antidote to, of course, infidelity or distance that sets into relationships or divorce is really always going back and focusing on what you do well in the relationship. Father Dave, who co-hosts with me my second hour of my show, he always says this, and I love this. He says, you've got to go back to being engaged. Forgiveness is one thing. Forgiveness is one absolute mandatory. That's a part of our faith, is to forgive. Reconciliation is something different. Reconciliation goes beyond forgiveness and says, okay, I forgive you for what you've done. Reconciliation is, let's do this better. What happened to the relationship? How do we change this so we have a new relationship? And Anonymous, if I were you, I would go back and have a conversation with your spouse and saying, you know what, honey, you've drifted. I know it's a struggle for us. Maybe we've lost sight of our marriage because of these kids or other challenges. Let's go back to being engaged. Ask her and explore this together. When we were dating, when we were engaged, when we were first married, how did we strengthen the relationship? What were our goals and our dreams? Talk about those rather than just the problems. I think that's the best thing that you can do.
Anonymous?
Oh. Yes, I think you're correct in saying that. We'll begin there. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh. Meantime, Mark. Well, pray for us. Pray for me.
Absolutely.
We certainly will. We certainly will pray for you. And thanks very much for that call. That's extraordinary. I have listened to Father Dave. I heard it and it just didn't hit me. But forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. That's
right.
An extraordinary idea.
Right. I think, again, a lot of people get stuck and they say, well, and sometimes even good Catholics, good Christians, they withhold forgiveness. They hold on to the anger. Because they say, well, if I forgive you, that means I've given you a pass. That means I've said, it's okay what you've done. And that's not the whole idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness is, I will not strike you. Even though you hurt me, I'm not going to hurt you back. Reconciliation is really about what can we do to re-energize or reinvent or renew this marriage. And again, let me just say one other thing, Cy, is a lot of even bad therapy, I would say, focuses a lot on the problems. When your marriage is in crisis, typically, people go, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. And really the better orientation, and I think this is what our faith does, this is what God does, is he invites us into the solutions. It's like, what is the answer? How do you move forward? And I think that's where couples could be better served if they focused on asking each other, what is the solution? How do we come and reunite this marriage or reignite it?
Extraordinary. 888-318-7884, the number. Our guest this hour, Joe Sikora, marriage and family therapist. And we go now to Judy in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Judy, your question for Joe.
Thank you so very much. I've been seeking someone to run this by. My mother passed away from dementia, and she was out of state. I flew back and forth. It was very exhausting. And for a lot of children that have parents with dementia, all of a sudden the parent becomes the child and you become the parent. You try to care for them. And when I went back to see her for the last time, it never dawned on me that she was dying. A couple of things happened and in a very short period of time, within a few hours, I noticed that she was passing away. And all of a sudden I became that five-year-old child with my mommy dying, and I was holding her, trying to save her. And my question for you is this. Is this possible to have, like, a post-traumatic stress from this? This has been 12 years. I have recurring nightmares. I can't quite get rid of it. It's just a real problematic thing, and it's very, very complex. And that's just kind of my question for you.
Yeah, great question, and I'll give you the short answer first. Yes. You know, anything that is startling like that in life can cause a stress response, or what we say post-traumatic stress. And what that is the brain doesn't fully process something traumatic, and sometimes it'll lock it away. Sometimes it'll lock it away for decades, and then it can all of a sudden reveal itself in an anxiety or panic attacks or something like that. So there is a saying in psychology which I like, and it's what gets suppressed gets expressed. And what that means is the things that we put down, the things that we don't deal with emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, at some point they will manifest themselves in your body or your psyche, and it could manifest itself with anxiety again or panic attacks or something like that. So yeah, it's entirely possible. And my question for you is, when your mother died, of course, look, I think death is shocking. We all live knowing that we will die, you know, knowing that. And yet, when we're faced with our own death or faced with the death of a loved one close to us, it still is sometimes shocking. And I think the best thing that you can do is to actually process your mother's dying. And what that means is to find a group, to speak about it, to talk about it. I think it should be a part of your conscious life so that that unconscious part, which has given you troubles, it doesn't have as much power over you. So make the unconscious conscious. That's kind of – does that make sense?
It sure does. It just seems like I've talked to so many people, priests, and, you know, you think you're over it, and then something triggers, and then it just recurs. And it's just one of those things that you just never seem to get quite past. You know, it's not the Catholic guilt so much, but you have regret.
Sure.
I should have made it more peaceful. I would panic. It's like hitting a computer keyboard and all the keys are hit. and you freeze and the room is spinning, and it was pretty horrific.
It sounds like you have a lot of guilt. You're judging yourself, like, I should have done this better. And that could be one of the things that is really preventing you from moving forward. You're condemning yourself for not realizing that mom was dying, and so you're second-guessing yourself a lot. And I would say, look, certainly we do this life imperfectly. We do it as best we can. But God forgives you for any mistake, if in fact you did make any mistake, and I'm not suggesting you did. I think the problem that you're experiencing is that you're not forgiving yourself for maybe something that you did or didn't do. So, you know, really relish. I would really just sort of bathe in that forgiveness, you know, that God gives you, and forgive yourself in the same way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
God bless you, Judy. Thank you very, very much for that call. Joe, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more faith and mental health with Joe Sikora right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpo. In Matthew 19:3, some Pharisees asked Jesus if it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever. Jesus responded by quoting scripture that a man is to leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. So they asked why Moses allowed divorce. Jesus said, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce. But from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, commits adultery." When my father died several years ago, I realized how much I had always related to my parents by their relationship to each other. It was tangible and alive. Now I recognize it as the presence of Jesus holding them together. Mere creatures can never remove such a presence from their lives. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Joe Sikora is our guest, and Nick Chamberlain is running the boards in there, and he is going to have to press the numbers for the phone because my phone just went dead. So we will go now. Well, our topic this hour is faith and mental health, and we go now to Anonymous in San Diego, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, your question for Joe Sikora.
Yes, I had a question. When I was wondering what happens when your Catholic girlfriend begins telling you about abuse or emotional abuse that's going on in her marriage, where there's a lack of, there's a lot of harshness, there's no mutuality with care, you know, respect, mutual respect, or no, really no freedom, and what am I to do as her friend? Because as I understand it, one in four marriages can be like this. And what's the Catholic position? Where do they tell their parishioners to go? Many times women are just told to keep on praying and waiting, and it gets worse.
Yeah, I don't think there's any excuse for abuse. Period. I think, you know, God gives us this beautiful sacrament of marriage so that we can love and cherish each other. So there's no, it is not a Catholic marriage if there's abuse. Now, we all make mistakes. We all blow it. and they can rediscover that kind of real sacramental marriage. But your question is, what do you do? I think your job as a friend is to encourage your friend to get some professional help. You can only do so much. You're not going to be privy to really what's going on, the extent of the abuse. But I think the fact that she's reaching out to you, she's showing that she trusts you. And I would just say, again, your job is to say, look, let me help you maybe find a therapist. But as a couple, you know, you don't know if they're going to want to do that or not. But I think your friend at least has to be aware of, you know, what she can do to stop the abuse. So whatever that is, there's a lot of great people ask me, they say, Joe, you know, we want to come to you as a therapist, or we've got to find the right Catholic therapist. That's a beautiful thing. And there's a lot of great, great therapists. There's a lot of great Protestant therapists, Jewish therapists. There's a lot of people who can say, look, this is abuse is wrong. And here's how we can stop it. And here's what you've got to do. And they can teach you about boundaries and everything else. So I would really encourage your friend to seek out some professional help. And again, the best referral I say is from a friend. You know, somebody says, oh, this person's a great therapist. Or go to your church. You know, they sometimes, I know priests refer people to me. And if not, this is a secular organization. But Psychology Today actually has a great, and I know there's actually Catholic referral sites too. But Psychology Today has a where you can go online and click on Find a Therapist, and you can view profiles, and they'll say Catholic or Christian, or they talk about different specialties they have. And, you know, you just type in the zip code and you can find that person. But I think as a friend, you've got to be careful about stepping in. You're only hearing one side of the story. Abuse is wrong, but I would encourage your friend to get some help.
Mm-hmm. My question also is, do priests, I'm actually a Protestant considering Catholicism, are the priests trained to identify these things and so that they can refer?
I would say this. My colleague, Father Dave Heaney, who I co-host 1 hour of my show with, he was one who would say, I will see you once or twice or three times, but his job is to be a pastor of a large parish. If he saw that there was abuse in a marriage, he would be probably the first one to make a referral to a therapist. You know, we all have our specialties. It'd be like if somebody came to me and said, I've got an eating disorder, I would refer them to somebody who just specializes in that. And I think most priests, they would recognize the signs of abuse. And I think most priests would say, find a therapist, get help. Let's save the marriage. Not just live in an abusive relationship, but really find and discover that thriving marriage.
If I may add one thing to that, Joe, I know here in this diocese, in the Diocese of San Diego, and I'm fairly certain in you're in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Archdiocese, right? Mm-hmm. At the diocesan level, there are resources as well. So the it may not be that a particular priest is well trained in these things, but there are if you call a diocesan, the main diocesan office, and ask who do I speak to about this, then they can help you with referrals or programs or that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of great people out there who have expertise in this and who can identify what is abuse. And
so now you can become Catholic, right, Anonymous? You're going to become Catholic now?
Yeah, well, that is helpful because I met some people that are afraid to refer out. They insist on doing their own, so, and I've seen damage occur because there's not a lot of good understanding of this situation, these situations like these.
Right, right. I mean, ethically, you've got to know what you can do and what you can't do, and you've got to be responsible and say, you would be better served by seeing this person. So,
very grateful for the call, Anonymous. And if it's all right with you, we'll say a prayer for you as you consider coming into the Catholic Church.
Thank you. I would love that.
All right. Thanks very, very much. Well, let's go now to you're going to push the buttons for me, right, Nick? Let's go to Henry in Detroit, Michigan, watching or listening online. Henry, your question for Joe Sikora.
Yes, Joe. I was wondering if you use the and I'll say it because I don't think a lot of listeners will know what it is. It's the I movement desensitization and reprocessing tools for the reprocessing of trauma so that it is no longer as stinging and as bothersome in the present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, EMDR. Probably
yes.
How most people. Yeah, sure. I'm not trained in EMDR. I have colleagues that are. I have clients that I work with as a therapist who also see somebody for EMDR, and they've have found it very, very helpful. I really can't comment on it other than to say I know people who've used it and very successfully. I just don't know enough about it to really comment.
Have you used EMDR yourself, Henry?
Yes.
Has it been helpful? And
yes, surprisingly, because I do the tapping.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing it, you think this is odd, and I read about it, and it's consistent with Catholic teachings. This isn't anything New Age,
right?
And I did find it helpful.
It's not
one thing I had to.
Henry, I think that's important to say, if I could, it's not a New Age thing. It's based on the science of how the brain works, that if you alternate left, right, then a certain state can be reached in
right.
the brain that can be healing for some people. I do think some people are very wary of things like hypnosis or various other and I'm sure EMDR is among them, Joe. But the EMDR is – whether it's efficacious or not, I'm not saying. I'm just saying that it's not it's not like putting crystals under your bed or something. It's based
right.
on brain science.
No, it's not the secret or anything like that. It's not about sending great thoughts out into the universe hoping they come back and solve your problems. No, it is based on science. I don't understand the science. And it's interesting because there's a lot about psychology and neuroscience that even the scientists don't understand. They just go, well – this works. Why? How? Don't know exactly.
Yeah.
We're learning a lot of things, but I've heard it's helpful. So I'm glad it's helpful for you.
You had another point you wanted to make, Henry?
Quickly, the previous caller with abuse, and perhaps it just dawned on me, if there's any type of physical abuse going on in a household against a child or against a spouse, shouldn't one be encouraged to call the authorities?
Yes. Yeah. Look, as a therapist, I'm required to. There are certain types of abuse. Now, interestingly enough, I'm not a medical doctor, but doctors, if they see marriage abuse or whatnot or signs or indications, they actually have to call the police, I'm pretty sure. As a marriage and family therapist, I'm actually not required to make a report if there's abuse between a husband and a wife. And it's interesting why. If there's child abuse, I'm a mandated reporter. So I have to call the Department of Child Social Services. And the thinking behind that is, whether you agree or disagree, and I actually think it's good that there's some discretion that a therapist can use is, hey, let's make this better. I don't tolerate abuse. I don't think anybody should tolerate abuse. But if both parties are willing to look at what it is they're doing, and maybe there's even a time that they would separate. If it means physical abuse, I was on a cruise 2 weeks ago and a woman died.
Really?
So, yeah.
From abuse?
Yeah.
Horrific.
Yeah, well, it went, yeah, of course. So that happens. And so we take it very seriously because typically it doesn't get better unless you actually take steps to make a difference. And so the abuse typically gets worse and worse. So you do want to be proactive and take steps and not just say, well, he promised it wouldn't happen anymore or she promised it wouldn't, turn out like this again. No, you got to take more aggressive steps.
Thanks, Henry, for that call. Joe, I want to give you something from YouTube. I don't know if you know this, but we're streaming this show on YouTube. Did you know you're on the internet?
How's my hair?
Would have done your hair better if you had known. Courtney watching on YouTube. We're also on Facebook and Periscope if you ever want to join us there. Courtney asks this. If she's seeing a secular therapist, what should she be aware to avoid as a Catholic?
I think it's interesting. As a therapist, I see whoever comes through my door. So if they say I'm an atheist, if they say, if I can help you, if this is a problem that I can understand, I'll help you. And most therapists, again, are like that. They're pretty good-hearted people. They want to help you. Some people are very specific. It's like, I need a Catholic therapist or I need a Protestant therapist or I think, look, you're going to know if you've lived your Catholic faith, no, this is inconsistent with what I believe. I think, you live in the world, you've got to deal with people that, you've got to place some trust. As long as somebody's respectful of your faith, if you go somewhere and they say, look, just divorce. I say, well, that's not consistent with my faith. I actually want to explore to see if we can work through this. I think most people would say, okay, I get it. Because most therapists, even secular therapists, would agree that most marriages can be saved. I hear that music.
That's all right. You still got it. So Courtney, you're saying if Courtney's living and practicing her faith and she goes to a therapist, she'll know if that therapist is leading her to things that are not Catholic.
Right.
Or anti-Catholic or something like that.
Right.
All right. Joe Sikora, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks for being here with us in the studio.
You are the best, brother. I'm a big fan of yours and Catholic Answers, so thank you so much.
It's been great having you. And next week, we start the week with a scientist and a theologian. Dr. Stacy Trisankos will be here on Monday, and then we'll progress the week as we can from there. You know, of course, always Tuesdays and Thursdays are open forum. So if you're interested in science and faith, well, we gave it to you on Friday. We'll give it to you again on Monday. Thanks for being with us. Remember, Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.